you to find your place again in Exodus chapter 28. Exodus chapter 28. We have preached on the opening five verses of that chapter. We're going to pick up with verse 6. I'm having the time of my life studying God's Word and going verse by verse, if you will, and passage by passage. And the Lord brings out some things that just wonderful truths that we can glean from and just be encouraged by. And this is one of the passages that when you read it, it's like, what in the world is in that? But as you study it, look into it, beautiful, beautiful truths. We look at Exodus chapter 28, verse 6. I'm preaching down through verse 14, if you're keeping notes with me. They shall make the ephod of gold, of blue and purple, of scarlet, fine twine linen with cunning work. It shall have the two shoulder pieces thereof joined at the two edges thereof, and so it shall be joined together. The curious girdle of the ephod which is upon it shall be of the same, according to the work thereof, even of gold, of blue and purple, and scarlet and fine twine linen. Thou shalt take two onyx stones and grave on them the names of the children of Israel. Six of their names on one stone, the other six names of the rest on the other stone according to their birth. With the work of an engraver in stone, like the engravings of a signet, shalt thou engrave the two stones with the names of the children of Israel. Thou shalt make them to be set in ouches of gold. That's like clasp there. That's not ouch as in I'm hurting, you know what I mean? Thou shalt put the two stones upon the shoulders of the ephod for stones of memorial unto the children of Israel. And Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord upon his two shoulders for a memorial. And thou shalt make ouches of gold, two chains of pure gold at the ends of wreathen work shalt thou make them, and fasten the wreathen chains to the ouches. I told you, right? Beginning in verse number 6, you'll notice several times in these verses two words that's mentioned. It's the two words, the ephod. And I preach to you tonight on that, the ephod. I wonder if it was ephod or ephod. So I went on the internet and I found the word and said, listen to it. And what I heard said ephod. So I'm going to say ephod tonight, okay? This is one of the pieces of the garments of the high priest. And as we look at this piece of his garments, piece of his clothing, reminded of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's beautiful, beautiful thoughts that come out here. Let's pray together. Our Lord, we rejoice in our heart that we know who you are. We're reminded what your word tells us, that we're not to glory in wisdom or glory in might, but let them glory in this, that we understand and know that you are God. And I pray that you help us tonight to do an accurate job with these verses that are before us. Thank you for how you spoke to me in my study today. And I pray that you will preach this message. May you take your word and may you be the preacher tonight. I mean that. I plead for that. Get me out of the way. And may these dear, precious people who've come on a Wednesday night, may they truly get something from God and from heaven tonight. Speak to us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. It'll take me just a few minutes to get to the main thoughts of the passage. As we come to these verses, we're reminded how the office of the priest is on display. We've already preached on this in the opening five verses of this chapter. Now, in those opening five verses, you can go back and get it if you'd like to do it. We already preached about the calling of the priest and the clothing, just in general, of the priest and how it's applicable to our lives today. And we brought out how the office of the priest culminates in the Lord Jesus Christ as the high priest and God's children as the sons of the priest, Aaron's sons. Now, in the passage before us now, we have what the Lord is doing in His Word. He's starting to divide parts of the garments, and He's starting to bring out truths concerning particular and specific pieces of the garments. He starts this out with the piece known as the ephod. Now, the ephod was a short linen coat. I just now noticed it was the word short there I used, right? That covered the upper body of the high priest. One preacher put it this way: the ephod was a two-part sleeveless outer garment that covered the priest's upper body. The ephod was beautifully made with gold, which stands for deity, blue, which stands for his origin being in heaven, purple, which stands for royalty, and scarlet, which stands for his death. And it was also made of fine twine linen. Now, the ephod was held to the body by girdle. This is brought out in our text here, that was made of the same material. Now, as you study this ephod that the high priest wore, it is a blessing to our hearts as we consider our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, see, what I want you to do, I want you to notice Aaron, go back in your mind's eye and try to picture him standing there with his ephod that is connected to him by a girdle. Now, what it is, if I could stand this way for you, it was two pieces, one piece that hung over his front, another piece that hung over his back, and then at the top, they were connected on the shoulders. Now, stay with me here. Okay, when you see him standing there in that ephod, you'll notice something special about the shoulders. On the shoulders, there were two onyx stones, one on each shoulder. These onyx stones were engraved with six names of the tribes of Israel, six on one, six on the other. Now get this, which means as the high priest is standing there, he has on his shoulders the names of God's children. Now stay with me. I'm getting excited right here. When you look at him standing there with the names of the children of Israel, God's people, back in the Old Testament, when you see him standing there in that beautiful garment that was made just like the inner veil, if you will, same colors, all these kind of things, with these two onyx stones that have all the names of the tribes of Israel, it's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to give you three things tonight, but when I give you the third, I'm going to bring out the message with three points under it, okay? Let me give you three major thoughts tonight. Number one, when you notice the ephod, the first thing that we see in verses 9 to 12, I've already read it, I'm not going to read it again. You can read it if you want. We notice the stones. Now, I've already told you what they are. This first thing we see about the ephod is we see the stones that were placed on the shoulders. Now, the Bible calls them onyx stones. The ephod, get this now, was composed of two pieces, a front and a back. And these pieces were fastened at the shoulder by golden clasp with an onyx stone on each shoulder. Just like a button, if you will, a large button sitting up here that helped hold the two pieces together on top of the shoulder. Now, with this, one man said this: the names of Israel's 12 tribes, I'm repeating myself some here, but I'm doing this for emphasis as well. The names of Israel's 12 tribes were engraved on the stones at the shoulders so that as Aaron entered the temple, now get this, as Aaron entered the tabernacle, he would bear, the Bible even says it in verse number 20, he's bearing their names, he's carrying their names with him, okay? As he went into the tabernacle, he bore their names before the Lord. In other words, as the high priest walked into the tabernacle, into the presence of God, with the ephod on and the names, he was literally carrying into the presence of God the nation of Israel. And he was doing it before the Lord. Now stay with me here, okay? The tribes engraved on these stones upon the shoulders of the high priest ephod show how they were inseparably part of the ephod. They helped make the ephod. They helped hold it together, if you will. That's the stones. Now, I'm getting ready to bring out 3 points for you, okay? The stones. Number two, I want to talk to you about the shoulders. This is found in verse number 12. The second thing we note about the ephod is how the stones were placed on the shoulders of the high priest to be carried by the high priest into the presence of God. Now, the shoulders in the Word of God, the shoulders to the Hebrews were a place of security and a place of strength. Now, it's interesting to note how the stones with the children of Israel's names on them were placed on the high priest's shoulders, a place of strength, a place of security. Now, in all of this, all of it, when you think about the ephod that covered the front and the back with the onyx stones on the shoulders, the beautiful colors, the gold, all of that kind of stuff, I want to give you number three, the significance. What does all this mean today for us? What can we glean from the ephod? What can we take home with us from this passage? Let me give you 3 ways to apply the ephod to our lives. And as I studied this today, this blessed my heart. Because if you're saved, if you have trusted Christ as your Savior, the Lord has done more for us than we even realize. And I want to give you 3 things tonight. 3 things tonight to take home with you, to encourage you if you are part of the children of God. Let me give you these 3 things. That I'm just going to draw it from the stones, draw it from the shoulders. You understand what I'm doing? Number one, this is the point of application. These are truths that we know, but they're taught right here in Exodus 28. Number one, we have an advocate. We have an advocate. You say, Jody, what do you mean? Get this. When the high priest wore the ephod, he was identifying himself with the tribes of Israel that he was carrying on his shoulders. And he was identifying himself with God's children to walk into the presence of God before an all-holy God to stand there in the place and on behalf of those that he represented. Friends, listen to me. We know that Aaron needed atonement just like the Israelites did that he represented, right? I mean, the Word of God even teaches that he must first atone for himself. But the second Aaron, if you will, I'm talking about the great high priest. He is doing the same thing that Aaron did in type here, with one change. He has no sin. He does not have to make atonement for his sin. And what Aaron is doing is he's identifying with the nation of Israel who he is carrying into the presence of God as the high priest. Only the high priest could do that. So what Aaron was doing as the high priest, he was advocating for the nation of Israel. He was mediating for the nation of Israel. He was interceding for the nation of Israel. Now get this. An advocate is one who pleads for or in behalf of another. That's what an advocate is. An advocate is an intercessor. This is represented in the high priest, get this now, wearing the stones on his shoulders into the presence of God. Thus, when the nation of Israel, talking about the people, they could not just walk in and open the inner veil and go into the presence of God. No, but God's ordained way is that the high priest can come. the high priest can come, but he's going to allow the high priest to represent all of those people on the outside. Now, friends, when the high priest appeared in the presence of God behind the inner veil, the Bible says he did it for the children of Israel. The high priest was Israel, God's people. He was Israel's advocate. Thank God, if you're saved, you have an advocate with the Father. The Bible teaches in 1 John 2, 1 and 2, says, My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Hebrews 9, 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself. Now, get this now. Now to appear in the presence of God for us. What is Jesus doing right now? You know what he's doing right now? He's wearing the spiritual ephod. And he has the names of every child of God engraved in onyx stones, wrapped in gold on his own shoulders. And he appears in the presence of God, walking in as the high priest, and he's advocating, he's interceding. He's interceding for who? Those whose names are engraved on his shoulders. And if your name has been engraved on the shoulders of Jesus Christ, you have an advocate in the presence of Almighty God. Friends, don't let that just go in one ear and out the other. It means that God, the Father, is constantly being interceded with from God the Son on behalf of those on his shoulders. Romans 8, 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. You know what that means? That means right now Jesus is interceding for his children. That means right now, if you're saved, Jesus is praying for you. Good night, friends. If that doesn't encourage you, I don't know what will. I mean, the Word of God says in 1 Timothy 2:5, there's one God and one mediator. That's an advocate, an intercessor, one mediator between God and men, that's the man Christ Jesus. The first major truth we get from the stones with the ephod and how beautiful they were and how they were on his shoulders, we get first of all that we have an advocate. Secondly, we get this. Right here in the Old Testament, you say you believe in the security of the believer? You believe that if you're truly saved that you'll make it to heaven? No matter what? Do you really believe that it's everlasting? Do you think that you can't forfeit it? Amen, amen, amen. I believe that when a person gets saved, they are saved for eternity. And they cannot lose their salvation. Can I submit to you that the ephod teaches that? You say, what are you talking about? Okay. I submit to you, number two, that we learn that Jesus Christ, our high priest, is more than able to carry us into the presence of God. Let me explain this. These stones that had the names of the tribes of Israel engraved upon them, did they walk into the presence of God themselves? No. They were carried there. And they were carried there on the shoulders of the high priest. It's reported again, I've already said this, but it's reported again that shoulders in the Word of God represent a place of security and a place of strength. One man said, and I quote, "The shoulders to a Hebrew mind were the symbol of strength. And the idea was that when the high priest entered the holy place, he did not go alone, but carried with him on his shoulders the children of Israel whom he represented." Get this. The high priest's shoulders were strong enough to carry the entire nation of Israel. Now you say, what's the point here? The point here is this. If the nation of Israel was represented and had peace and had the wrath of God turned away, are you listening to me? It depended on the strength of the high priest to carry their names behind the inner veil. Are you following me where I'm going here, friends? Where I'm going with this is this. The Lord Jesus Christ is well able to represent sinful man in the presence of God. Those who are in Christ, they are safe, they are secure, and they are being carried today on the shoulders of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is able to bear our name on His shoulders and present us faultless before the throne of His Heavenly Father. One man said, in its typical application to the saints today, this tells of perfect security. The shoulder is the place of strength, Isaiah 9:6, and tells us that the omnipotence of God is engaged on the behalf of His people. Get this. It was not the strength of the people to get behind the inner veil. It was the strength of the high priest. The Word of God says it's not our strength, but His strength. 1 Peter 1:5, we are kept by what? We're kept by the power of God, the Bible says. It's not our perseverance, but His. 2 Timothy 1:12, He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him. The shoulder which sustains the universe upholds feeblest and most obscure member of the blood-bought congregation. Luke 15:4 and 5, interesting. When Jesus was given the parable about the 100 sheep and one went astray, it's interesting what He says. He said, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders. And layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. The point that the shoulders of the high priest and how it was his shoulders that carried the onyx stones, it was his shoulders and his strength bearing those onyx stones that made the difference whether they were represented behind the inner veil. It was the strength of the high priest. It wasn't them. They could never do it alone. They could never do it on their own. Only the high priest could do it for them. And if they ever got in the presence of God and had atonement made, then the high priest had to have enough strength to go back behind, carrying their names, representing them, mediating for them, advocating for them, interceding for them, and go behind the inner veil. And the strength of the high priest carried the children of God with him behind that inner veil. It is an accurate picture that we get to heaven not by our works, but we get to heaven by the work and the administration and the advocacy and the mediation and the intercession of the high priest. What am I saying? I'm saying that you, in the sight of God, are as secure as Jesus is if you're saved. Because He's carrying you. You're not carrying Him. You're not carrying salvation. Oh, I hope I don't drop it.
Oh, I hope I don't drop this. Oh, I hope I don't drop this. You're not carrying it. He's carrying me. You know what I'm glad of? I don't have to make it to heaven. I'm already there, friends. I mean, I'm as good as already there. I know I'm here on earth, but I'm talking about in my position. I am where Jesus is. I'm on his shoulders. And the strength of Jesus Christ is the reason I'm going to heaven some glorious day. He is well able to carry us into the presence of God. Let me ask you a question. How big are the shoulders of the Son of God? How much do you think he can carry? How much weight do you think the Lord can pick up? Do you think that your life, your soul, is going to cause his right shoulder, I can't take that anymore? No, he is able. He is able. He is able. We get this from the ephod. The Word of God says in Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. A man in Ireland was convicted of his sin and was on the verge of trusting Christ when the devil raised the oft-repeated objection, if you believe, it won't last. What about tomorrow? In other words, this man was convicted, realized the need to be saved. And the devil just kind of whispered, you can't live it. You can't live it. He's still whispering that to people, friends. You can't live it. It's not going to do you any good. What about tomorrow? It's interesting. The worker dealing with him pointed to a water mill nearby. And he said, what turns that wheel today? The stream. The worker said, what will turn it tomorrow? The stream. And the day after? The stream. And the man was led to see that there was abundant grace running free and full. Enough to save, enough to keep, and enough to meet all his needs. Friends, it's not, will I endure to the end? It's, I have put my faith and trust in one who's already endured. And because I'm on his shoulders, I've trusted in him. I'm engraved on his shoulders. Then where he goes, I go. Where he is, I am. And I'm as secure as he is. Now, friends, that ought to bless your blesser tonight. The point is, we don't carry ourselves. Aren't you glad you don't have to carry it all the way home? I'm talking about your salvation. What if God made it that if you trust me, I'll save you, but if you mess up, you got to do it all over again? There's no liberty in that kind of teaching. There's no freedom in that. Because the fact of the matter is, we fall sometimes and don't even know we fail. But what I do know is this. I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. It's not what I keep. He's promised to keep it for me. And he's a lot more able than I am. You know what's a great thing here? Let this statement just kind of speak to your heart here. I, as God's child, I am as secure as the strength of Jesus Christ. I am as secure a child of God as he is able to keep me on his shoulder. You know what I'm glad of? The Lord doesn't lose anything. What he say in John 10:28? I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Amen, friends. John 5:24, verily, verily, say unto you, he that heareth my word
believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. I'm telling you that if you're saved today, you're secure. Because he carries you on his shoulders. The next time you wonder, how am I going to make it? How am I going to go on? All these guys, just see yourself engraved in an onyx stone, wrapped in gold, on the shoulders of Jesus Christ. He is well able to carry us into the presence of his Father. Let me give you a third and final thing. Number one, we're applying the stones, we're applying the shoulders. Just how can we, what can we learn here? We learn that we have an advocate. That's what the high priest was. He went into the presence of God for the people. He went before the Lord in behalf of the people. He was an intercessor. He was a mediator. He was an advocate. We have an advocate with the Father. He carried the names of the children of Israel, the names of God's people. He carried them on his shoulders. And he was well able to bear their load. They did not overwhelm him. He didn't sink under the load. He was more than able in his strength as high priest to carry them as their representative into the throne room. And Jesus Christ is more than able to carry us in his strength. Then I close with this thought, number three. We learn from these stones that all of God's children, all of them, are equal and beautiful. You say, explain this, okay? The names of the tribes of Israel were engraved on these stones, and I quote, according to their birth. According to their birth. This phrase, according to their birth, signifies spiritual equality. These stones were also set in what the Bible calls ouches of gold. This means if you have an onyx stone wrapped in gold, set in ouches of gold, clasp of gold, not real sure what they look like, but just see an onyx stone and gold engulfing it somehow, some way. This means that when you looked at those stones on his shoulder, they were magnificent. They were beautiful. This goes to show that all the tribes of Israel were equally identified on the high priest and equally beautiful to God. It's a beautiful thought, isn't it? The point is in the eyes of the all-holy God of the universe, his children who are being carried into his presence on the shoulders of his son are all equal and all beautiful. In this world, human beings may show favoritism, may show inequality, but not with God and his children. We are all on an even plane at the foot of the cross of Christ. We are all, I'm talking about God's children now. God's children are all beautiful in the sight of God. One man said, all the saints have the same nature, the same moral features, the same acceptance to Christ. If you're a child of God, you may not be anything special to this world. You may not be anything special to other people. You may feel like that you're a nobody. Oh, but if you're saved, if you've trusted Christ, God has made you an onyx stone and wrapped you in gold. And when he sees you coming into his presence, on the shoulders of his son, who is your mediator, your intercessor, and the Lord starts interceding on behalf of these stones. That's you, that's me, the names that are engraved on it. And the Lord had them wrapped in gold, onyx stones. Here's what God is saying. If you are saved and you're in my family, at one time you were a child of the devil and my wrath was what was pouring out on you. But today, you are so beautiful to me. You're precious to me. That's all found in the ephod. So I want to leave you with this thought that there are no nobodies in the family of God. By the way, there are some of God's children who think they're better than others. It works on both spectrums, you know. And all I'm saying to you is in the eyes of God, all of God's children are equal. In the eyes of God, all of God's children are beautiful. So don't think too highly of yourself. Realize we are equal. But don't think too lowly of yourself either, because even if you don't feel like you're beautiful, if you're saved, the high priest has made you beautiful. You get it? You see this? You say, you don't know what I've done. Makes no difference. If you're saved, he forgave it. It's gone. There's no more blemishes. He wrapped you in gold. What a God, friends. What a God. May this church be a church that when we leave, I mean this with every ounce of my being, that it's not, what a Sunday school lesson, what a sermon, what a song, what a prayer, what a ministry. Phooey on all that. May we get in the habit of when we're leaving, say, what a God we serve. The ephod was worn by Aaron as high priest. It was a piece of his garments that could encourage our walk with the Lord. In the ephod, we highlighted the stones and the shoulders and brought out their significance. If you're a child of God, you have Jesus Christ interceding for you. You are being carried by his mighty shoulders, and you are beautiful and equal in his sight. Praise his holy name. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you tonight. Help us to learn the lesson of the ephod. Help us, Lord, to see that there are no unimportant portions of Scripture, that there's truths that we can glean from every page, every chapter. Help us to do that as we preach through these books. Help us tonight to be focused on the ephod of the Old Testament. And drive these truths home to our heart. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared, they'll begin to play through softly as soon as they get prepared. My first question is this: are you being carried on the shoulders of Jesus Christ? Is your name engraved in an onyx stone wrapped in gold on the shoulders of the Son of God, the heavenly high priest? Have you know for sure that your name is engraved on his shoulders? Would you raise your hand? You know he's carrying you. God bless you. Isn't it good to be able to raise your hand to that question? Hey, if you raise your hand to that question, rejoice that you have an advocate with the Father. You have an intercessor with him. You have a mediator with him. He's interceding for you right now. He's the heavenly high priest. Hey, if that's you, realize that you're safe and secure because your eternal salvation doesn't depend on you. It depends on the strength of your high priest. And your high priest, Jesus Christ, is omnipotent God. He's all powerful. And he will not drop one person from his shoulders. Not one. Or maybe tonight God's speaking to you because He's just whispering to your heart that as his child being engraved on his shoulder in an onyx stone wrapped in gold, he's just whispering to your heart saying, listen, you're beautiful to me. You're beautiful to me. I've saved you. I've changed you. I've wrapped you in gold. And when I see my son, I see you. He represents you to me, and I'm well pleased. Maybe you just need to say thank you, Jesus. And if the world never sees it, that I know in God's eyes I'm beautiful. Not because of me, but because of what Jesus has made me to be. Realize we're equal in the eyes of God. Nobody's better than anybody else. We've all been made the same, which is so much more than we deserve. I'll ask Brother Gary just to sing one verse. The invitation is open if God is speaking to you. If you've never been saved, come. If you need your name engraved on his shoulders tonight, come. He's still engraving names, you know. Come now. If you just want to come say thank you, whatever it is. As Brother Gary sings, you come now. Would you do it? As he sings, now's the time for you. Come on.
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me my great salvation.
Brother Terry Farron, sir, if you wouldn't mind to dismiss us in prayer tonight, please.